Hi, welcome to My Rideshare Diaries. That's myrideshairediaries.com. Thank you for listening. I'm excited that you're here. And this is episode one, series one. And welcome. I am Ray. I am a rideshare driver in Cape Cod. And I actually started doing this a couple weeks ago. I wish I'd started this podcast sooner because I've just had so many interesting rides, fun, interesting people, nice people, a couple of weird people that I just feel like there's a story to be told each and every day. And I hope that this is something that people enjoy listening to. I'm going to start driving here. And I just put up my little rideshare signs. And I turned on the rideshare app. And I am heading into Hyannis, where usually I get a couple of rides along the way. We'll see how it goes. Sometimes nothing happens. And I spend a lot of the day just driving around, or I'll find a place to park and sit, and it's been interesting. I still don't have a great handle on how to get these get as many rides as I want to, but I think what I'll do first here is, let me just make sure my rideshare app is working, because if it's not, that would be a problem. Here we go. I hope it's working. Anyway, I thought I would tell you about this interesting ride yesterday, and it was my first ride of the day and my first ride in a while. I travel a lot, so the reason that I'm doing the rideshare at all is because if you travel a lot, it's really hard to hold down a regular job. Even whether it's a, you know, a remote job, they still expect you to be there 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, or whatever the hours are. And in my case, I can't do that. I travel, I'm sometimes away from Wi-Fi, I'm generally very busy. I call it my day job, but it's more like my when I have it job. And working, I mulled it over for a long time and realized that driving for a rideshare company was going to be one of the few things that I could pick up when I'm here on Cape Cod and do while I'm here, while I have the time. And then when my other job calls me away to be in some foreign land and jungle or tropical beaches or European cities or whatever, then I can do that and come back. One of the highlights of yesterday was I saw a bald eagle soaring around. And for those of you that are in parts of the country with a lot of bald eagles, it might not be a big deal, but here on Cape Cod, they've only recently just started being regular summer visitors, so that's exciting. And we've had a really, really awful winter with a lot of cold, depressing, yucky snow that stuck around and melted and froze again and then melted again and basically became the color of brushed steel with dirt mixed into it, and really hard to walk on, slippery and wet. And anyway, it's been a couple of days of warm spring-like weather, and seeing that bald eagle really made my day yesterday. But the ride that my first ride of the day was in Osterville, and at first I thought it was going to be a complete dud because I drove over to the house and parked, and I could see that it was a house that was being worked on. There was some, you know, construction happening, and I just waited. The guy that I was picking up, I think it's better if I make up names here so that I don't single out anybody. I'll just call him Leon. So Leon didn't show up, and I waited, and I sort of moved the car. There was a puddle, and at first I had pulled up into the puddle, so I thought, oh, well, I don't want him to have to jump over some water or get his shoes wet. So I moved the car a little bit and thought maybe that would alert him that I was there. And the little timer started going, and a couple minutes go by. I start getting the message saying, you're being paid for the wait time. I don't even know how much I'm getting paid, but I waited and I waited and I waited. And just when I was beginning to, there's an ambulance that just pulled out and I braked suddenly. Just as I was beginning to give up, I called and didn't get any answer. And then I texted and I said, well, I'm here. Are you coming out? Didn't get any answer. And then I noticed about 50 yards behind me, a man with a briefcase and a cane walking along behind the car. And I thought, oh no, did I get the wrong house? And it turns out that I did. The rideshare app had located it in the wrong place. And this poor guy was walking with difficulty to my car. So I hopped out and I said, excuse me, are you Leon? And he goes, yes, I'm Leon. So I backed up the car and he, with a little effort, he managed to get in and put his cane on the seat, put his briefcase there, pulled his feet inside, shut the door, fumbled for the seatbelt, good for him. And then we started talking and just had the best conversation. He was heading off to what he laughingly called the rodeo. And I was like, well, the rodeo, what's that? And he chuckled and said, it's retired old doctors eating out. And so this guy was going to meet his friends at a very popular restaurant on the north side of the Cape called Jack's Outback, which used to be an institution. Jack was this character. What a funny guy. And a couple of pretty famous regular old crotchety Cape Codders used to go there. Possibly the most famous is Edward Gorey, who does these wonderful macabre line drawings that are often claimed to be for children, but they're just too grim and creepy to really be for children. He was essentially about 30 years before the goth movement took off. Edward Gorey was walking around Cape Cod with earrings galore and skull jewelry and black clothes and just being his wonderful weird self. And every so often as a kid, I would go eat at Jack's Outback and there would be Edward Gorey sitting at his booth. He had a particular booth that was the only one that he sat at, and he would be drawing something or talking with Jack, and they were good friends. And anyway, it was nice that this Leon guy was heading over there to Jack's. Jack eventually passed away, and Edward Gorey passed away, and the place got sold, but it kept the same vibe to some degree. In the past, when Jack was running it, he would grouch at you and, what do you want? And get it yourself. And you would walk over to the to the big refrigerator and open it up, the industrial refrigerator, and slide the door open and grab yourself a glass of milk and glass of orange juice, or pour yourself some coffee, whatever, and he would fix up whatever you wanted at the giant grill. But they did some funny things. If you left a tip, they would ring a bell and hoot a rubber chicken, and it was a real place with character. And anyway, it's still there, and the owner changed, and it's a little more normal now, but still a good place to eat. So this guy and I talked on the way. It was about a 20-minute ride into Yarmouthport there, and he was a really interesting character. He'd moved to Cape Cod from New York when he was, well, he didn't say his, he was 94, or I might have that wrong, 90, I think it was 94, but he moved to Cape Cod in 1961, so you guys can do the math on how old he was at that point, but he loved the Cape, got a house in Osterville, and has been there ever since. His wife passed away. He and I talked a lot about staying healthy, because for a 94-year-old, he was in good shape. He was not doing badly at all, even with a little help from a cane. And funny guy. He had a great sense of humor. But he ran marathons, and he was like, you know, if you get old. And trying to remember exactly how the conversation went, but we talked a little about getting old, and I said something like, well, don't apologize. My favorite quote is, you get old if you're lucky. And he laughed at that, and then we started talking about how to be old and healthy, and he said, yeah, well, you know, it's probably one-third luck, because sometimes you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time and something happens and that's that. It's probably one-third genetics, because, you know, my parents and grandparents all lived into their 90s. And it's probably one-third things you can do to keep yourself healthy. And he talked about running marathons and said that even now at 94, he still did exercise for about the same amount of time each day, which we didn't talk about whether that was 2 hours or, I mean, if you're training for a marathon, that's a long time. Presumably he's not running marathons now or training for them, but anyway, at 94, he's still getting good exercise, and good for him. And we talked about that. We talked about his kids. We talked about the fact that he, it was really funny. He's like, we talked about how good it was that he had decided, he took a test and realized that his reaction times were no longer what they used to be. And because of that, he had decided to stop driving himself, and his kids were glad about that, and they would pick him up and take him over to do errands and stuff and shopping. And I said, well, you know, if you need to, also has a delivery. And he goes, oh, well, yeah, I know about that, but I like to do my shopping by sight. I don't really make a shopping list. I like to just go into the store, and when I see something, then I know that I need it. And then he chuckled, and he said, like, take the other day, I was with my daughter, and I needed a salt shaker. And so we went in and we found one, and I bought it. And when we got home, we went to put it away, and lo and behold, my daughter goes, "Hey, Dad, you've got 6 salt shakers here." And he chuckled and he said, "So I guess my short-term memory isn't quite what it used to be." But I said, "Well, you know, when you pass away, you know that those six salt shakers, you can just bequeath them to each of your 6 children. That'll be a perfect inheritance." And he laughed. And we finally got to Jack's Outback, and he hopped out of the car, got his briefcase and his cane, and gave me a very generous tip. And that was that. And I'm wishing Leon well. He was a fun ride.
That's all for now. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me again for another episode of my Rideshare Diaries. That's myridesharediaries.com, available wherever great podcasts are found. Safe driving, and see you again soon.